Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening, good evening, everyone, good evening. I thought I was having a bit of a problem trying to connect here, and it may appear that there is some type of problem. However, I'm going to go on. Nothing shall stop the plans of God. And so I bid you all a good evening once again. I'm going to continue, or at least try and continue from this series. It is a three-part series that I begun on November 13th, and it is titled Matters of the Heart, Matters of the Heart. And so this is a two of three parts of that series. So this is two of three parts of that series. I want to begin, as I always do, saying once again, welcome to Crown Talking Drums podcast station. We are our Apostle Willie J. Armstrong is the founder and CEO, and I am your host tonight, Renee. And again, this series, which I am picking up, is the second part of a three-part series, which you can go back later on and review. The introduction, part one, which I had last Monday, and now part two. And the part two that I am discussing will be on matters of the heart, but what I want to discuss is sight without vision. Sight without vision. And some of you may say, what in the world does sight without vision have to do with matters of the heart? Well, I'm going to start by reading a scripture. I'm going to do something a little differently tonight. I usually pray and then read the scripture, but I'm going to read the scripture. You know what? Don't break anything that God has already planned. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you. I thank you, God, for allowing us to wake up this morning, those of us that woke up this morning in our right minds and with the activities of our limbs. I thank you, Father. Father, some of us didn't wake up. Some of us couldn't get out of bed. And Father, I ask that you touch the bereaved all over the world, oh God. Someone is discomforted right now because they've lost a loved one, oh God, or someone has gotten sick, oh God, and laying on their bed with affliction, be it in their home or in the hospital, oh God. And Father, right now I ask that you touch Elohim Elohim. I call you by your Hebrew name because I call you that because you are the creator and you are you're almighty. And also I call you by your Hebrew name because you know my name, oh God. You know me and you created me and you know all about me. So if you can have that relationship with me, oh God, I desire a closer relationship with you, oh Father. And Father, right now, I ask you to come in the midst of this broadcast, oh Lord. Touch and let thy people receive the word, oh God. Oh Father, Lord, take me out of self, oh God. Use me to your glory. Oh God, have me to say what you will have me to say, to speak to your people, oh God, and that someone somewhere, oh God, may be tricked in their hearts, oh God, may be urged to say, I yield, what must I do to be saved? Lord, I ask these things in your name, Jesus, Yeshua, the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. And with that, I am going to read from 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians numbers, the seventh verse. 2 Corinthians, the 7th verse. I believe the 2nd. Yes, the 7th verse. And I'm going to be reading from the New King James Version. It says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." We walk by faith and not by sight. And the word of the Lord has been blessed. As I discussed this topic, sight without vision, I want to say, very often we depend on our sense of sight as a gift of God. And it is. Who wouldn't want the ability to see with their physical eyes? But when we become dependent on it, as when we become dependent on our physical eyes, it is as the source of our vision, we become stagnated. Stagnated because it hinders us from experiencing the God-given potential and purpose that God has placed in each and every one of us. Dr. Miles Monroe says it like this, and again, he is, Dr. Miles Monroe is a renowned author, motivator, and speaker. In one of his discussions concerning sight and vision, he mentioned the author and entrepreneur Helen Keller, who became blind, deaf, and mute as a result of her illness when she was about 18 or 19 months of age. Dr. Monroe describes her as a powerful, remarkable woman, a woman who had a great impact on a whole generation. Although she died in 1968, I believe, it seems that she had a great impact, and she still continues to have a great impact on the world today. During her latter days, she was interviewed by a news journalist about her life. And during that interview, the journalist asked her, by means of Braille, "Tell me, Ms. Keller, is there anything worse than being blind?" She said, she wrote out, "What's worse than being blind is having sight without vision." I thought this was such a remarkable statement to have her say these very words continue to echo today. And why is because when we read the scripture, the Bible tells us in Proverbs, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Now, I like the easy to read version. And it says, where there is no revelation, people cast off restraint. But blessed is the one who heeds wisdom and instruction. Vision. And let me back up. Most people refer to that scripture as being prophetic, that God is talking about a prophetic vision. It is a divine vision. And that's true. That's true. But in this case, it seems most appropriate. Because without vision, we can't possibly see the future that God has planned for us, that God has predestined for us already, which is, I'll get to that in a moment. And you see, vision is driven by faith, after all. The capacity to see things as they could be takes faith. It takes faith, not sight, not physical sight. This is why we walk by faith and not by sight. And I'm going to go a little step further. We are talking not physically, but remember, this whole discussion is based on the spiritual heart. Now, in this case, we're talking about spiritual vision. When we have vision, we are governed by faith. God has put in our heart Hebrews chapter 11 But in the book of Hebrews, it says the faith is the substance. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Therefore, I would define faith as vision in the heart. I can't see the heart. God says man cannot see the heart, but God sees the heart. God sees the heart. Man looks on the outside appearance. Man focuses with his vision, but God looks at the heart. And really, the heart is the matter of our hold, of why we are deceived. It tells us in the scripture over and over that the heart is wicked. The heart is deceitful. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So is he. And that's what we've been having this discussion on all week, since I started this discussion on matters of the heart, because it takes a renewing of the heart. It takes a renewing of the mind, And that's not going to happen with us. It happens. Only God can renew our minds. Only God can renew our hearts. He tells us to think on heavenly things, to think on good things. And let me pull that scripture up. That scripture would be in the book of Philippians, I believe. Philippians 2 and 8, I believe, or 4 and 8. It's Philippians 4 and 8. Philippians 4 and 8 says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And so when we do not focus on the good things, on the good things that God has in store for us, on what he just, what the word just said, whatever is true. Focus on truth that God requires of us to do. Focus on the way God requires us to live. Focus on clearing our thoughts of impure, immoral thoughts, lust, for example, lust, hate, deceit. When we get rid of the pollutants from our thoughts, when we turn our thoughts into the thoughts that are kingdomly, because indeed we are part of the kingdom. We are God's children. He wants us to walk in his will. He wants us to prosper through his word. You know, when I think back, when I used to sort of go against, I call it straddling the fence. straddling the fence. I recall some years ago, much later in my life, earlier in my life, as I decided it was time to stop talking about faith in God and start living it, not with my physical sight, but seeing it the way God predestined my life to be. As in Jeremiah 29:11, God says he has chosen, in other words, a prosperous life for us, not a life of disaster, a life of doom, a life of gloom. He has promised us a prosperous life of hope, a future of good, a future of hope. And so I was excited about this new direction my life was in, which my life was going, because for so long it had been going the opposite way. I had a new quest in life, a new pursuit of happiness. I call it a new pursuit of happiness. However, just because I decided it was time to shift things and take my focus off of all the world's pursuit of happiness, because I realized that it's not about the pursuit of happiness. God, Jesus says that he has come into the world to give us life, and give us life more abundantly, abundantly. He didn't say that, oh, I came into the world to make you happy. I came into the world to give you life and give you life more abundantly, not just in eternal life, but right here. You can have an abundant, wholesome life. Are there going to be ups and downs? Are there going to be troubles? Sure. Is sickness going to occur? Yes, indeed. Are worries going to come about? Sure. But that's why we pray to God. That's why we communicate to God. That's why we take his word, we hide his word in our hearts, so that when, not only that do they stop us from sinning, but when these troubles and the strife comes up in the world, and when things become difficult, when storms come about in our life, we can stand firm on God's word. And we can put all our burdens. He said, bring me all your burdens. I'll take them. I'll bear them. So we don't have to get anxious or worried about anything. We don't have to get anxious and worried about how our bills are going to be paid. But getting back to me, when I was in, sort of had one foot in the world and one foot out of the world, I saw the world as it was. I desired, part of me desired I saw people, they appeared to be happy. They appeared to have this and they appeared to have that. And that seemed to make everyone happy. These things, these worldly things, seem to make everyone happy. And so I was influenced by my surroundings, influenced by the things of the world. But then as I became grown, as I grew up, as I stopped drinking the milk and I start chewing on nourishment of God's word, and I start taking it in, and I start not only taking it in, but living it, walking in his promises, walking in his word, as it became more and more a part of my conscience. I speak about the conscious mind and the subconscious mind. The conscious mind I refer to as the brain of the computer. As I speak of the heart and the soul, I refer to it as the subconscious. And the more we take in the word of God, I'm not talking about just memorizing the word of God. I'm talking about meditating and reflecting and being in prayer and just taking in that word and letting it deposit down into the subconscious mind, the heart. Not only will we start beginning to live it, but we will begin to act in it. We will begin to function in it. Those things that we call the pursuit of happiness in the world, they will not appear to be important to us. We will keep our focus off of these things. The things that the media throws at us, the things that go on in the world, I'm not saying that we should walk around with blinders on our eyes. The word says we are in the world, but we are not part of the world. A person, when their heart is deceptive, when their heart is full of deceit, when their heart is full of pride, when their heart is full of lust, they begin to act it out. It becomes a reality in your life. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is the man. And if we want to change the man, we have to change the heart. I say man, but I mean mankind. If we want to change our ways, if we want to change our ways that we can have abundant lives, then we have to change our thinking. We have to renew our heart. And so I want to talk about for a moment. Change is not something that comes overnight. When in order to change, we have to put our faith in God to change. It doesn't happen overnight. In fact, the word says God gives us a measure of faith. So it takes time to build up that faith. Thoughts with love of God. We have to love God in order to love others, even to love ourselves. When we have love of God, the word says love covers a multitude of sins. When we have love of God, we don't hate others. We want to do what's right. We want to do the will of God. We want to think about pure thoughts. not immortal thoughts, not thoughts that will send us to hell. Because basically, if we don't do things God's way, that's where we're going. That's where we're heading to. That's where our eternity will wind up. And I don't know about you, but I don't want all my living, all of my living and all of what I am doing, you know, I don't want it to be in vain. I want to live right here, right now, while I still have blood running in my vein. I want to experience all that God has for me. And we can. We can experience it right here, building up the kingdom. We are kingdom builders. And I'm not just talking about the kingdom of heaven. I'm talking about the kingdom right here. Right here. When we build up the kingdom, we do as Christ did. We become imitators of Christ. We walk as Christ did. Of course, we can never withstand everything that Christ went through. But we perform in the manner that he performed. We think heavenly thoughts. We think about going about doing our Father's business. And the only way we can do that is to ask God to renew our mind, transform our mind. The scripture tells us about, be ye not transformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of our mind. And when I talk about the mind, I'm not just talking about the physical mind. This is not a physical subject matter. The matters of the heart are spiritual. That's why I say we have two minds spiritually, two minds, the conscious mind and the subconscious mind. And until we start ridding the subconscious mind and the conscious mind, stop taking in the pollutants of the world and depositing them in our hearts. As soon as we stop doing that, then we'll learn to live happier with other people. We'll learn to live happy with ourselves. And so at this time, I'm going to end this discussion. I do not believe that there are, no, I don't believe anyone is on the line at this time. But I'm going to, all, like always, I end with a prayer. So there's no need for me to open up a mic because I do not see anyone on the line. Father God, as I close this discussion, Father God, I ask you to continue to use me. Keep my thoughts pure. Keep my thoughts off the focus of the world, the things of the world, the pleasures of the world. Lord. And not just me, oh Lord. I'm not thinking about me. I'm thinking about people, your people, oh God. We have a world out there, Lord, that is governed by sin, governed by the enemy. People are going to and fro. They don't know which way they're going. Satan is just running rampant. He desires to sift us like wheat. But Lord, let us know that we have the power. You have given us the power and the authority to trample over the serpent. We have that same power within us, your Holy Spirit. Yeshua, you departed to us that when we speak with boldness. You, O God, frame the world with words. You said, let, and it was. Everything that you created, you saw that it was good. And we have the power, O God, things that we see as though they are not, O God. Thank you, O Lord, that although my eyes, I may see trouble all around me, I know that within my heart, I have hidden the words that you have given me in my heart, so that when I see Satan intervening with our children, I can say, Satan, God, the blood of Jesus is against you. Get your hands off of my children. Get your hands off of our children. I can say that God is our fortress. God is our refuge in the time of need, in the time of trouble. God has promised never to leave us nor forsake us. He has given us the armor that we should walk in. He says, put on the scripture says, put on the full armor of God so that we can withstand the evil one in the later days, in other words. These are the days that we are living in. We are living in the last days. Father, oh God, get your people to realize that. You have given us victory. You have defeated the enemy. And we don't have to walk around like we're defeated. We don't have to walk around with our heads down. We don't have to walk around like we are poverty stricken. We don't have to walk around like we have no hope and we are doomed. We walk by faith and not by sight. We believe those things that you have given us, that you say in your word. We believe that we shall prosper and not live in doom. We believe that we have a bright future and not a future of gloom. We believe in Jeremiah 29:11 says, we keep saying it. We keep living it. We keep having faith in it until we see it come to existence. Change, Lord. Let us know that if we want change, you can change anyone. But if we want change, we have to desire it in our hearts. We have to want it. We have to want to do your will. We cannot lean toward our own understanding, but we have to acknowledge you in all your ways and let you direct our path. Oh, Father God, I pray for the sick. I pray for the homeless. I pray for those in shelters. I pray for those who are bound up by all manner of sickness and bound up by abuse. Father, release. I pray for release right now, oh Lord. I speak, Jesus, what you promised us. You said in your word, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. So I speak release over your life. I speak prosperity. I speak health, wholeness into your life. But it's not enough for me to speak. You have to believe it. You have to receive it. You have to walk in faith. You have to walk in that blind faith, that faith that says, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. When that woman pushed her hand through the cloud and she began to touch, she grabbed the hole to the hem of Jesus, Yeshua's garment. He felt her faith and he turned around. He said, who touched me? He said, woman, thy faith, not your sight, your faith has made you whole. And so, Father God, I ask tonight that you bless this broadcast. You bless thy word that has gone forth. Because, Lord, truly, you said the words that go forth from your mouth, from your people, in other words, will not return void. They will not go out empty. Somebody will receive them. And it shall accomplish whatever you have purposed it to be. And so I say it is so. I end this prayer saying it is so. Thy people have received it. I declare it in the name of Jesus, in the name of Yeshua, the Messiah. Amen and amen and amen. And I hope you can join me next week. I had so many things that came up during this time, but praise God, I got through it. Nothing shall stop the plans of God. And so next Monday evening, I will be discussing as I continue with this series on matters of the heart. I will be discussing time to get rid of the contaminants. And I will be closing out with that. And I will be going through Mark 7, the Gospel of Mark 7, 21 to 23. Chapter 7, 21 to 23. Time to get rid of the contaminants. Time to get rid of the pollutants of the heart. Time to renew our hearts. Time to have a rebirthing, a cleansing of the heart. We call it circumcision of the heart. Time to cut away that old stuff that keep us bound up, that keep us from having that faith and walking by faith and not by sight. It's time to get rid of it. And as a matter of fact, as the new year comes up, we always have New Year resolutions. Why not start off our new year right? Why not start off our new year by cleaning our house, cleaning up the junk? When I say the house, I mean the heart. Why not get rid of the overload and go into the new year fresh with a new mind, new thoughts? Not our thoughts, but the way that God desires us to live and think. So I thank you. I hope and pray that you got a thought and that you will go into the archives and listen to this broadcast. And with that, I am going to bid you a good night and shalom. That means peace. Amen. Till next week. Good night.